Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, I am the church. You are in fact the church. You are in fact the church. Not these four walls. Not these speakers, not these lights, not these instruments. Not these screens, not these projectors, but you are the church. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it says that you are the temple. Your very body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come to dwell inside of you. Amen. How many enjoyed Boniface last week? He brings a different word, doesn't he? A good word. How many know that God is bringing us out of the fire? Amen. 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 He's not causing the fires. He's not causing the turmoil. He's not causing any of that, but He is bringing us out of it. Yeah. When it does happen. Amen? Yes. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about restoration. What is restoration? I'll give you a definition. It's the act of restoring or the condition of being restored, such as bringing back to a former position or condition. That's the world's definition, but God's definition is He's bringing you back better than before. Glenn, better than before. Better than before. Amen? He's bringing us back better than before. Why? Because we have a better covenant built on better promises. Amen? We are joint heirs with the Christ. The Christ, the Messiah. My, my. Better covenant built on better promises. And last time I was up here, we talked about forgiveness, and I believe there was a wave of forgiveness that went out of here. And let me just say, it was especially targeted. And I don't know why. Spirit knows why. Especially targeted towards daughters and mothers. And even sons and mothers. But mothers was the focal point of that. So let me just encourage you. As that word is still out there, that forgiveness is yours, and it's not for the person you're forgiven as much as it is for you to live a restored life. A restored life. Amen? I shared that story about the Mengel twins, the twins in the Nazi concentration camp, and how 50-some years later, the one twin, after the other twin had died in the camp, was able to forgive those doctors and all the horrible experiments that they put them through. And forgiveness is yours. Let me just... Forgiveness is yours to have. You are forgiven. But it's also yours to give. You can forgive. It doesn't matter how horrible the situation is. I'm telling you, if you will allow the Spirit of God to work on you in that area of forgiveness, whether you've been molested, whether it's adultery, whether it's rape, whether it's being fired from your job, losing a position, whether it's been being addicted to drugs that your best friend got you set up with and you weren't going in that direction, but now you find yourself, that's where you are, and you need to forgive that person. I'm telling you, forgiveness is available to everyone. Yes, it is available to you. And if you will take hold of that, you can be set free. You can be set free. Amen? Hallelujah. Some things we just can only do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some things we don't have what in and of ourselves to do, lest it be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can give grace to others as God has given His grace unto us. Just as His mercies are new every day, every morning. Oh, the mercy that we can show someone. The grace that we can extend to someone, the forgiveness that we can afford someone, how that can set us free. Yes. Amen? To be born again is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you say, Jesus, I receive you. I make you my Lord and my Savior. At that moment, at that instant, you are infilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But today, what I want to talk about is differentiating between that infilling at the point of the new birth and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because we're talking about living a restored life. And enable, I believe, to be live that restored life, there has to be power to do it. Power to live a restored life. And that's what I want to talk about today. So turn to Acts chapter 1. And let's just start. I want to get to 4 verses 8, but let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 1. The power to live a restored life. The power to live a restored life. The power to live a restored life. So let me just read verses 1 through 3. This is just to give you the background of what's going on here in chapter 1 of Acts. Out of the Amplified, it says, in the former account, which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, his special messengers, whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations, that is, unquestionable evidences and infallible proofs. Glenn, it is be unquestionable when you walk in that restoration. It'll be unquestionable to your doctors, to all of us, to all of your friends, to your family. Unquestionable demonstration of the power of God. Amen? By a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. So Jesus, this is after his resurrection, he's appearing to the apostles for 40 days. He's talking to them. He's still teaching them, right? He's still having conversation with them. And then in verse 4 it says, and while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with, that is, placed in and introduced into the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the difference, differentiating between the infilling of the Holy Spirit at the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which provides power. Because he said in verse 6, so when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed, and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But, we learned about but last week, didn't we? But, I told Boniface when he came into my office before that Sunday, and I was just asking him, you know, what are you going to share with the people? And he told me, and I said, you know what? That word is one of my favorite words in the Bible. But God, amen? But God, but God. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power, that is, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. Amen. So what is he saying here? There is a difference between the infilling of the Holy Spirit at the new birth and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. What did he say? You will receive what? Power. Well, why would he say that if we didn't need power, if we already had it when we were infilled with the Holy Spirit at the new birth? Why would he say you will receive power. And that's what we're talking about. Power to live the restored life. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you receive power to be his witnesses. Yes, witnesses to do what? To restore the kingdom of God. Amen. To restore the kingdom. To witnesses to do what? Why would you need power to do that? Witnesses to restore the kingdom of God. And that's in verse 6. It says it. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? That was their question to him. And his answer was, you're not going to know the times, but you're going to receive power to be his witnesses. To do what? To restore the kingdom of God. To bring heaven down to earth. Amen. Are you listening? And how? How will we do this? By operating in the power that he gave us, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and with the gifts that he's provided in that baptism. The gifts. The gifts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let me read in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 out of the Amplified. It says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes, and he bestowed gifts on men. He bestowed gifts on men. So what are the gifts? What are the gifts and why? What are the gifts and why do we have the gifts? Well, I've already stated what the gifts are. Why we have the gifts. And that it's to bring restoration of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And then we'll look in a minute at the what. At the what. And you got to understand, this is for a scholarly term, if you will. Anybody heard of the word hermeneutics? You know what that means? It's just studying out the Bible correctly, basically, in real broad layman terms. And so if you look at what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, you have to understand who's speaking and who is he speaking to. And you have to understand, you have to go back in time, if you will, and see where that church is at that time and why he's saying those things to that church. And if you know any history, biblical history at all, or you've read any of the introductions in some of your study Bibles, the church of Corinth was messed up. Yeah. They were messed up. Yeah. I mean, they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So Paul is bringing a word of correction to them. I mean, there was incest, there was stuff going on in there that he said not even the heathens do the things that you are doing in the church. Right? So they're messed up, right? The church of Corinth is messed up. So Paul is bringing this word of correction to them. He's bringing a word of restoration to the church at Corinth. Amen? And he's doing that. He's talking about it. And we'll get into this in chapters 12 through 14. He's talking about these spiritual gifts. These spiritual gifts that have been given. For what? For restoration. And the same as today, I would submit to you, and of course, you are always welcome to come and reason with me on anything that I say that doesn't follow what this Bible says. Please come and let's talk about it. But I submit to you today, it's my contention, my opinion, that those gifts are still alive today, still useful today to bring restoration into people's lives. Not only individual lives, but bring restoration to the church. Look at the setting. He's talking to a church that's messed up. And he's bringing restoration. And he's talking about these gifts. Okay? Amen?
Yes.
Well, let's turn to there. What did I say? Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, sorry. There are two books of Corinthians in the Bible. We're going to be looking at the first one in chapter 12. And let me just start in verse 4. It says, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, that's gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace. We've just read in Ephesians that grace, and he gave gifts that go hand in hand, operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit, and they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all. So there are a variety of gifts, and we're going to look at each of those gifts, maybe not in much detail today, but we're going to at least introduce them. There are differences in how they are administered. Or let me put this word in. I don't like this word per se, but it'll click in your mind, I think, a little better. Performed. Okay? There's difference in how they were performed in verse 5. And they operate differently in the individual being ministered to. They operate differently in the individual being ministered to. Okay? So there's a variety of gifts. They're different in how they're administered or performed, and they operate differently in the individual that they're being ministered to. You see, we are all filled with the Holy Spirit and under grace. Amen?
Yeah.
But Corinthians 12 tells us that there are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us separately and distinctly by the power of the divine grace operating in our souls. That's what verse 4 says. By the power of divine grace operating in our souls. So as previously pointed out in Ephesians, and let's read that again, Ephesians 4. Let me turn back there, or let me flip back here. I've got it on my page. Let me just reiterate what Ephesians 4 is saying. It says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he bestowed gifts on men. Our grace is to receive the gifts. We have to receive the gifts. You know, Jesus died and provided something some 2,000 years ago. But we have to receive that. Whether we receive it or not, it doesn't change whether it happened. Okay? So, whether we receive these gifts and operate in them or not, doesn't mean that they aren't here and available and provided for. Amen? Because what does Paul say? He says in verse 31, he says, to zealously cultivate and desire the greatest and best gifts. So that tells me there's a choice. There's a choice. Just like the new birth, all right? You have a choice whether to receive Jesus or not to receive Jesus. You have a choice to operate in these gifts or not operate in these gifts. You have a choice to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you go back to Acts, he says, wait for power. So I'm saying, if you want that power in your life to live a restored life, you have to consider the power gifts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Let me read and introduce these gifts to you. And I read through verse 6, so let me start in 7. It says, but to each one, I like the King James Version, it says, to every man. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. Verse 8, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge. and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Exactly as who chooses. Not you and me. There's a capital H in my Bible. Exactly as the Spirit of God chooses, does he proportion that to us as individuals, distinct. Amen? So, the gifts. There are 9 of them. I know y'all have heard these gifts. What I want to do is to encourage you that they are to be used in today's time to restore lives. Yes. Right? I mean, what? What better way than to convince people that Jesus is real, that the kingdom of God is real, if someone possesses extraordinary gifts of healing, reaches out their hand and says, "Rise and walk,"
amen,
and that person gets up,
amen,
and walks.
Yeah. I receive that. Yeah. I receive
that. That is a testimony unto the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
What better way to show the power of the Holy Spirit than if you are to give a word of knowledge to someone about something that they're dealing with in their life that you had no idea, there's no way you could have known about that. And you speak just like Jesus calling Nathanael from under the tree, right? He said, how did you know? How did you know? You never met me before. How did you know? How did you know? You're telling me my whole life. How did you know? These are things that are for us, available to us, to promote the kingdom of God in this earth. Miracles. We say we're a house of miracles. My God, I'm one of them. I am a miracle. I mean, I don't know. I know I've shared but y'all don't understand the things that happened in my life. I was there personally. And I heard the doctor when he said, "Listen, you could be dead right now. You could have permanent brain damage right now. But you don't." And we can't tell why. We don't know why. These are the things that should have happened. But we don't know why you are healed. But God. My favorite word. But God. Miracles. Prophecy. So I'm getting ahead of myself. I told you I was going to give you a list of them. So word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Faith. Healing. Miracles. Prophecy. Discerning of spirits. Tongues. And interpretation of tongues. So the argument has always been, well, you know, those things have ceased to exist. Well, no, the Word of God is not ceased to exist. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you got to tell me that inspired preaching has fallen away. If you're saying that, because he said prophecy, right? Inspired teaching and preaching is one of the gifts, one of the 9 gifts. So you're telling me that if healing has passed away, if tongues has passed away, if discernment of spirits has passed away, the prophecy must be passed away, and all these preachers up there that are called of God and inspiring people every day to live a godly life, to live a life in the kingdom of God, to promote and to share the gospel with the world, you got to be telling me that that's falling away. And well, what's why are we here then?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. No, the gifts are real. The gifts are for us today. Amen. Verse 11 said, the Holy Spirit chooses and apportions to each as He wills. To each as He wills. But verse 7 said, but to each one, every man, species, not gender, every man is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? He answers it. For good and for profit. For good and profit. Now, this Corinthian church, they were using it for their own purposes. You know, they got in pride and they were, you know, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff under these gifts. And Paul's saying, no, it has to be for good and for profit. Amen? When one of the gifts is administered or performed, its operation, or we could say its manifestation, must profit someone and be good. Amen? Amen. Now, this is not a criticism of any ministry or any person, but there has been some strange manifestations in the past under the umbrella of Holy Spirit. But the question you have to ask yourself when you see these things, is it for good and profit? Is it edifying anyone? And I'm going to give you one, and y'all, I mean, I'm just, I hesitate to even do it, but I want to give you an example. To me, barking like a dog is not edifying anyone. No. It's not for the good or the profit of anyone. Maybe that individual, I don't know. You know, maybe they have a soft spot for pets. And they just, man, that just releases something out of them when they start barking like a dog. I don't know. But listen, it's got to be for good and for profit when you see these things in operation. Amen? For good and for profit. How do you know? How do you know if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with power? How do you know? How do you know? I mean, one, how do you know if you're born again? How do you know? How do you know if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? And why? And why? How do you know? And why? Well, the how do you know, the Bible, I think, is clear on this. And this has been a point of contention in many different denominations and throughout history, maybe even. But the Bible's very clear that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says with the evidence of speaking in tongues. One of the nine gifts. Again, if tongues have passed away, then prophecy has passed away. If tongues have passed away, then miracles have passed away. If tongues have passed away, then faith has passed away. So you know that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit when you have the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I know I've listened to stuff out there and pastors, just people trying to justify these verses in the Bible. There's too many of them, one. To refute that tongues is real, and there's too many references to say that it's a foreign language. You know, I heard one person say, "Oh, they were just they didn't speak Spanish, but all of a sudden they could interpret Spanish." And that's not it, people. I mean, I don't have time to go through every scripture today to show you, but maybe we will do that. Maybe that's a class. Maybe that's for a class to talk about the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But this is how you know that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. With power for what? To bring restoration into people's lives. And to the church. And to the kingdom of God in this earth. And you know, I was going to get into a little bit more in depth about the gifts. But Kelvin said something this morning in growth class that really, and it didn't have anything to do with this, but he was talking about love, basically. He's talking about love. And it clicked in, I'm sitting here, okay, my message is going to be about the spiritual gifts, the nine gifts. And then as you read down to the bottom of verse of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, and after he's talked about and described all these wonderful, tremendous gifts, the power available to us to bring restoration, Paul says this in verse 31. Even after he says, but earnestly, he's telling us, earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces. He's telling us to seek after these gifts. They're real. They're for you. They're for us. They're for the church. Go after them. Go after the best gifts. Seek them out. Cultivate them in your life. And then he says this. He says, and yet, I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far and the highest of them all. Love. Love. And it just clicked in me, Kelvin, when you were talking about love. And I was, going over what the Lord had shared with me and the spiritual gifts and the power in those gifts and power to bring restoration. But then I get schooled in the Bible. And he goes on and says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. I am a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long. He goes into this description of love. So that tells me, even if we operate in these gifts, if we understand them, if we believe that they exist for today, and we administer them and we operate in them, if it's not done under the umbrella of love, then it is nothing. It is nothing, it is nothing, it is nothing. So, what am I saying to us today? I am encouraging you that these gifts are available to, what did he say? To each, to every man. These gifts are available, and you are to seek them out. Zealously cultivate them in your life. What does that mean, cultivate? To me, that means that, you can, the Spirit, Holy Spirit can put a gift in you, but you have to develop that gift. I mean, yes, sometimes I believe that a gift comes and, for instance, you've heard stories. I know you've heard stories of somebody getting in a car accident and a life is there and they're dying and these people come and they don't even know where they come from sometimes. And they administer healing to these people. Now, that's instant, right? But he's saying cultivate them. So some of these gifts, or maybe all of them at certain times or another, need to be cultivated within us. Developed within us. Why? To bring restoration. To bring restoration. To bring restoration to a lost and dying world. Are these gifts for the body? Yes, sure. We can walk in these gifts and minister them to other born-again believers, but are they for the world? Yeah, sure. We can walk in these gifts and apply them to the people out there. The Bible says to lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
And they'll be healed. That's a different administration. Some just say, speak the word. Mm-hmm. Speak the word. So I'm trying to encourage you today to one, and I know we didn't do, this was not a in-depth study of the gifts. Maybe we'll get into that in a little bit more later, or like I said, maybe we'll come up with a growth class so that we can get in and dive down and dig into these gifts. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power, the Holy Spirit, the power. Different from the indwelling. The baptism is different from the indwelling. Okay? And the baptism, the indwelling happens once. The baptism may happen multiple times. He may baptize you with a gift of healing today, and tomorrow baptize you with the gift of faith. Does that make sense? To each one as he apportions to them. Amen? But make no mistake about it. If it's not done in love, if it's not done out of love, if it's not done with an understanding of God's love for us and our love for God, and really our love for one another. Our love for one another. How well have you loved your brother or sister today, this week, this month? How well have you loved them? What does that mean? That means different things to different people. You know, it could mean going and raking your neighbor's yard because they don't feel well. You know that. Or it could be buying a meal for someone. Or it could be a kind word. It could be a smile that day. It could be a note of encouragement. It could be, I don't know. You fill in the blank. Amen. How well have you loved your neighbor, your brother, your sister in the Lord? What is your revelation of God's love for you? What is your revelation of your love for God? Do you even love God? Hear me. Hear me. I'm just trying to get the wheels turning here, you know? I mean, we, you know, yes, I am. And I'm not saying this nation. I'm thinking society in general is being dumbed down. Nobody wants to think for themselves anymore. That's true. I want you to think for yourself. Yes. I want you to dig into the scriptures and apply them and say, okay, you know, Pastor Todd was saying this. Is that real? Is that true? Let me read it for myself. Holy Spirit, minister to me. Lead and guide me into all truth. And is this true, what he's saying today? I heard him say it. I heard it with my ears. I mean, I identified with it, but is it true? Compare it to what the Word says. I believe I'm a humble enough person that if you came to me and we could discuss it and you could show it to me chapter and verse, and if I'm wrong, I'd be the first one to say, Lord, I missed it there. Amen? Let me leave you with a quote from Dwight Moody. Anybody know who Dwight Moody is? It says, God has got a good many children who have just barely got life. He's talking about us, right? We're not talking about the world. He's saying God has got a good many children who have just barely got life, but no power for service. The Holy Ghost coming upon them with power is distinct and separate from conversion. If the Scripture doesn't teach this statement, I am ready to correct it. I believe we should accomplish more in 1 week than we should in years if we had only this fresh baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brings a power for you to accomplish much in this earth. And let me tell you, time is getting shorter. It ain't getting longer. I mean, I know they say the universe is expanding and time is stretching, but time is getting shorter for in this dispensation on this earth for us. So we need the power to do in one day what we may do in a week. Y'all didn't hear me snort, did you? So that is my encouragement to you today. One, search out the Scriptures. Search out the Scriptures and prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Yes, I dare you. I double dog dare you. Prove me wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll be glad to admit it. But I think that God wants something more for us. He doesn't want a church filled with pew sitters that the only time that you even consider God is on Sunday. He wants a church filled with people that are coming together of like-minded faith to be encouraged to dig into the Word further, to apply what they learn or what they get encouraged in every day of their life, to go out there and share it with a lost and dying world. And He's given us everything that we have need of to accomplish that. Everything. Everything. Amen?
Yes.
Father, I thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son, yes, Jesus, to die, to shed His blood. And Lord, when He was resurrected, He sent another. He was being taken away. And the Scripture says that He must be received in heaven. And He must remain until complete restoration happened. But in His absence on this earth, He sent another. He sent His Holy Spirit to live and dwell on the inside of us. So, Holy Spirit, we thank You and we recognize You on the inside of us, leading us. You are that small, still voice, leading us, guiding us each and every day of our life. But even more so, You come with a baptism when we receive it for power to bring restoration. And Father, we recognize that. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit and His operation in our life, in this world. And we receive it. We receive it. Just help us, Holy Spirit, to walk it out. To walk it out each and every day. And Lord, let it be with this in mind always. And let this be the litmus test to us for everything that we do. Let it be done in love. Let it be done in love. Let it be done in love. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all receive that today?
Amen.
Well, glory be to God.